Last week, when U.S. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia voted to confirm President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, he crossed party lines in a very public way. Now, this might not have surprised many Mountain State voters, but people in other states across the country were asking, why is he even a Democrat? That's the question Us and Them podcast host Trey Kay is trying to explain to his California co-host Cherry Glazer in this installment of our series Red State, Blue State, a weekly collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and KCRW in Los Angeles. They are talking about this because, well, it's a question they've heard from listeners.
I consider myself a conservative Democrat. I am not proud of what Joe Manchin's doing today. I believe he's listening to his constituents, and he is trying to straddle a very, very thin line. But I believe that he should have stood in solidarity with his party on principle. I would ask him, does he believe that Judge Kavanaugh will be impartial, an impartial judge when it comes to issues that are brought before the court, whether Democrat or Republican?
That's Nina Kinnearum, who lives in Santa Monica, here in California. She's just one of many Americans who are scratching their heads over Joe Manchin's vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh and over Manchin's political identity. Our Red State host, Trey Kay, is going to help us with this. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Cherry. Yeah, this really gets at the differences between red state and blue state Democrats, and so gets at the differences between red and blue America. I'm here in West Virginia, and I've been meeting with a lot of my friends and just talking politics. And Robert White is a friend of mine. We go at it all the time on politics, and he put it this way.
My voting card says I'm a Republican.
And who are you going to vote for in this upcoming election?
Joe Manchin.
Why? I mean, you're a Republican.
I don't think that you should vote for someone simply because they have an R or a D beside their name. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Joe's an old school West Virginia Democrat, and people just don't know that. Democrats in West Virginia have never been out on the fringe on certain cultural issues that you and I both know are hot topics in the Democratic Party nowadays.
Okay, Trey, for those of us who aren't from the Mountain State, what exactly is an old school West Virginia Democrat?
Okay, to get that, you have to understand Joe Manchin's background. He comes from a tiny little town called Farmington, West Virginia, and it's in the same county that I was born in. The most important thing that you need to know is that he is an alumnus of the American Legislative Exchange Council, and that's a conservative think tank. And when he ran for the Senate, he took over the seat of Robert Byrd, a West Virginian who famously fought against the Civil Rights Act. Now, I spoke with Mason Adams, a political writer who focuses on Appalachia, and he's covered Manchin a lot over the years.
In that special election for Robert Byrd's seat, Joe Manchin aired an ad. This was during, you know, Barack Obama's first 2 years. And the ad depicted Manchin loading a gun and shooting the cap and trade bill that was then being discussed in Congress.
I sued EPA, and I'll take dead aim at the cap and trade bill because it's bad for West Virginia.
That ad sort of established his brand. And, in D.C., there weren't a whole lot of Democrats that were shooting things in their ads. And so it sort of established him. He's worked pretty hard to maintain that centrist position. I think there's a flip side to it in that if you're the swing vote, the movable pivot in a tightly divided chamber, you can work some things for your constituents. The flip side is you're a target for everybody.
He was such a target when the NRA came after him hard after he supported gun control legislation after the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting back in 2012.
Okay, but it sounds like this whole gun-toting Democrat routine has worked for him at home, right?
It does, Cherry. And this ad is kind of a two-for-one. I mean, the focus of the ad is the Cap and Trade Act, and gun rights are casually mentioned, but they're so present in the ad. And this election cycle, Joe's at it again. I mean, there's a new ad and they're playing the same music, but this time Joe's toting a shotgun as opposed to a rifle.
Hey, I haven't changed. I might be a few years older, but I'll still take on anyone that messes with West Virginia. Now the threat is Patrick Morrissey's lawsuit to take away health care from people with pre-existing conditions. He is just dead wrong. and that ain't going to happen. I'm Joe Manchin, and I approve this message because for me, it's all about West Virginia.
Okay, hang on, Trey. How does this go down with someone like Robert? I mean, your friend, the GOP voter. Here you got Manchin. He may not spell it out in black and white, but he's talking about supporting a part of Obamacare, protections for pre-existing conditions, even if he is carrying a gun. In the midterms, GOP voters like Robert could vote for a real Republican, Patrick Morrissey. He's a candidate who says he plans to back President Trump and his policies.
Right, and this is where it gets complicated. Because, yeah, West Virginians are mostly opposed to Obamacare as an issue. But as a state, they benefit a lot from the Affordable Care Act's protections. And Senator Manchin knows that. And it's something that my friend Robert really cares about. I mean, he's had some serious health problems over this past year. And he's not so much interested in advancing a national political agenda.
Don't tell me that I should vote for you simply because you're going to do what the president tells you to do. When we have all of our eggs in one basket or one party, you know, it's not good for our country. It's good to have, sometimes to have it divided to where one side can keep an eye on the other. In this case, it's very, very important that West Virginia and the right thing for us is what Joe Manchin will do. Joe Manchin, that's more important to me. The welfare of our state is more important to me than what may or may not happen in Congress or in the Senate.
But Trey, have you been hearing from any Democrats in West Virginia who are not happy about Manchin's vote on Kavanaugh?
I have. Another friend, Karen Ireland, told me that she's changed her vote. Now, she's a mother and she's a city council member here in Charleston. And she knows Senator Manchin personally and she supported him in the past. But this year, she and her daughter were part of a sit-in protest in Manchin's Charleston office, and this was over the Kavanaugh nomination.
For me, this is something that has become personal. You know, my daughter sat in his office and cried and shared her story. You know, I can't in good conscience vote for him after seeing that kind of vulnerability and courage from her, a 15-year-old. You know, Senator Heitkamp was able to make the difficult decision because to vote no. She's in as tough a race as he is, in as conservative a state as he is. This is a hill I'm ready to die on.
Karen is a good example of a Democratic voter who didn't always agree with Manchin, but thought that he was a surer bet than a more liberal or progressive candidate. But she says that over time, he's changed and he votes more with President Trump and the Republican agenda than he used to.
Well, I guess we'll see in a couple weeks whether voters there stick with an old school Democrat or go with the Trump Republican.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Thanks a lot, Trey.
Thank you, Cherry. We'll talk to you next week.
We've been listening to Red State, Blue State, a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and KCRW in Santa Monica, California. This is the second installment of many conversations that we'll present each week between now and the midterm elections. Would you like to be part of this conversation? Let us hear from you. Look for Red State, Blue State online at wvpublic.org. On this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, we'll hear about what happens when local foods go mainstream. The Appalachian Food Summit began as an online conversation between Appalachian chefs, scholars, and farmers who have a stake in the region's food culture. It grew into an annual in-person gathering of Appalachian foodies, if you will. This year was the group's fourth summit and the first time they've met in West Virginia. Let's listen to some of those who attended this year's Appalachian Food Summit earlier this fall. We asked people to tell us the foods they think of as traditional Appalachian cuisine.
I'm Jessica Salfia. I'm originally from Phillippi, West Virginia, but my husband and I now live in Martinsburg, which is in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. My grandma made sausage gravy and bacon gravy, which is sausage gravy's little known little brother. And it was my favorite. And I would spend Saturday night at my mom and papa's house, and we would watch Hee Haw and eat a big bowl of popcorn. And then the next morning, breakfast was biscuits and gravy before we went to church. And it was every Saturday night and Sunday morning of my childhood. So for me, biscuits and gravy was love, and it was family, and it was all of those sweet memories you have that you get with your grandparents.
I'm personally a very big proponent of biscuits and gravy. My name is H. William Davis. You could call me Bill, that's fine. I'm from Elkins, West Virginia, originally. Every Sunday ever growing up, I spent every weekend at my grandparents', and Grandma would always make pancakes and bacon and eggs.
I'm Ed Brown, and I'm from Morgantown, West Virginia. I grew up, I'm not a native Appalachian, although maybe in a way I am, I'll explain. I was born and raised in New Jersey, but we lived on a farm in southern New Jersey, in South Jersey, and South Jersey is farm country. You know, New Jersey is a garden state. So I feel like parts of New Jersey are very much Appalachian. So I grew up eating a lot of beans, because I come from a big family, a lot of beans and a lot of cornbread, and you know, greens and stuff like that. So to me, these are like comfort foods. I mean, I don't care if I ever hit the $1 million lottery, I'm still gonna wanna eat that food, because to me, it's just really good comfort food. So I think those foods are important. Everybody should eat them because they're healthy.
And I think it's really easy to be told that Appalachia looks like one thing, and if that's not your thing, then you're not right. You know, I am from West Virginia, but nobody else in my family is from West Virginia. And so my introduction was the food that my grandmother made, and she's from the Appalachian Pennsylvania coal fields. So, you know, it's soup beans, but it's navy beans, never cornbread. You know, she made bread rolls, but she made pepperoni rolls. So I think the pepperoni rolls for me, you know, being a West Virginian and then having that deep family connection, that's kind of my go-to. I'm Courtney Ballastier. I'm a board member of the Appalachian Food Summit.
Thanks to Ashton Mara, managing editor of 100 Days in Appalachia, for gathering those recordings. To hear the rest of this episode about Appalachian food, listen to Inside Appalachia Sunday mornings at 7, and again, Sunday evenings at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Recorded at the People's Bank Theater in Marietta, Ohio, this week's episode of Mountain Stage with Larry Gross features a broad array of musical styles, drawing from pop, rock, soul, and folk. Our song of the week comes from Ohio-born Richmond, Virginia native Natalie Press, who performed songs from her sophomore album, The Future and the Past. Here she is with the up-tempo soul track, Short Court Style.
Without all my love that I have found, yeah. Woo!
That was Natalie Press performing Short Court Style live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.